the tomb. God, we need you now.
Well, hello, patriots, freedom fighters throughout Saskatchewan, across the country, and around the world. How are we all doing tonight? Do me a favor, share this out, especially if you're on Facebook, so we can bust through the shadow banning. I'm still horribly shadow banned. Hello, Jeremy. Hello, Joanne. Good to see you. Yeah, share it out. So I just, I'm not going to be on for terribly long, but I wanted to cover a few things, and we can start that process on Twitter. Twitter's a good place to trigger some discussions. Hello, Cheryl. Hello, Darlene. Hello, Tina. Hello, Marianne. Good to see y'all. Hey, Lauren. Yeah, smash that like button and share. Just like Joanne says. 100%. Do it. So, yeah. Let's do that. I think I'm going to do it this way. There. So, there it is. Demand for escort services rockets during World Economic Forum Summit Davos. So while they're screwing us, they're also screwing escorts. Naturally. Of course they are. This one is kind of good. Dave Rubin put this together. Let's have a look at it. It's pretty good.
Melting the ice and raising the sea level and causing these waves of climate refugees predicted to reach 1 billion in this century. Look at the xenophobia and political authoritarian trends that have come from just a few million refugees. What about a billion? We would lose our capacity for self-governance on this world. We have to act.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. I award you no points, and may God have mercy on your soul.
Of the land and creating the droughts and melting the ice and raising the
boiling oceans. Antonio Guterres got involved in that as well, of course. But speaking of climate, speaking of carbon, let's have a look at this one here. Just, you know.
Are you worried at all? There's not, nobody even has anything to do with the nuclear waste yet. So should we be producing more power when we haven't figured out what to do with the waste? Is that smart?
Well, Ontario gets half of its energy from nuclear right now, and we have safe disposal of it. There is, and this is something we have to be very clear about, there is no carbon-free future without nuclear power. That's just a physical and mathematical fact. And because there's no other source that can meet the needs of our civilization. So we have to use clean, safe nuclear power the way Ontario has been doing, the way France has been doing for decades now. And we can do it. We have to do it. And that's the way we're going to reduce the emissions from our electrical sector.
Well, as I said, and I have been saying for a very long time, the Conservative Party is exactly who we say they are. And why does Pierre Poilievre say we need to enter into a carbon free future. Because Pierre Poilievre is a coward. I know there's going to be some conservative supporters watching this. And quite frankly, I don't care if your feelings are hurt. I don't care at all. Because it's time that you face reality of who these people are that you are supporting. What does it mean to be in a carbon-free future? Well, it means all life on Earth dies. You are actually the carbon they want to eliminate and eradicate from the planet. And Pierre is too much of a coward to tell the truth. Especially in an interview with the CTV. Because he's scared of the media. He's scared of the big bad liberals calling him a conspiracy theorist. Because the reason he's talking like this is because the Conservative Party of Canada is still very much committed to the Paris Accord and net zero narrative. 100%. 100% on board. The reason they're on board with that is because it's connected with the greater Agenda 2030 Sustainable Development Goals that they've committed us to and signed us up to in 92 and in 2015. In fact, making it law in Canada in 2008 with the Sustainability Act. What Pierre won't tell you, and probably knows full well, is that this idea of carbon-free future means all life on Earth dies. If our atmosphere on planet Earth, relative to planet Earth, goes to 150 parts per million CO2, all life on Earth begins to die. It isn't rocket science. It's not something that normal people should struggle to understand. It's very simple. It's photosynthesis. We learned it in grade 8 science, most of us. Maybe even grade 6 science. I don't know. Because it's not a terribly hard concept for young minds to understand. That we live in a symbiotic relationship with Mother Nature. And actually fossil fuels are natural occurring element, fuel, energy on planet Earth. It's the recycling of CO2, of carbon. Carbon is a fundamental building block of all life on Earth. Carbon and oxygen. C, carbon, two parts oxygen, CO2, carbon dioxide. It's plant food. Plants love CO2. Plants need CO2. Yes, Larry, 100%. But nature is created by God. And Mother Nature is this cycle that we're in, that humanity is very, very much a part of. So plant food, plants love CO2. I talked to a greenhouse operator. They'll tell you they pump heavy amounts of CO2 into their greenhouses to encourage plant growth because plants need CO2. They love it. And they then exhale oxygen so humans can breathe at Earth's level. The higher you get, the less oxygen there is, right? We know that. And it's just how everything works. It's this beautiful cycle of life. And so we can use more CO2, actually. We need more of it. And there's a study, again, I've mentioned this before, I'll mention it again, a study that came out of The Lancet a number of years ago that, you know, they sent out all these scientists to figure out why the planet has greened so much in the last couple of decades. They could have saved themselves a whole shitload of money and just given me a call. I would have told them. You know, I'm an arborist, so I understand how trees work and what they feed on. And I also understand grade 6 science and photosynthesis. And so the more CO2 there is in the atmosphere, the more it's going to encourage plant growth, vegetation, and bigger leaves, bigger trees, right? The more there is of CO2, the more you encourage the greening of the planet. And that's exactly what this study determined when they reported back that it's actually CO2 increased in the atmosphere that is leading to more greening on the planet, which then also means, as this cycle of life, more vegetation, more plants, bigger trees, bigger leaves, because of more CO2, leads to more food for animals. More food for animals means more food for humans, right? It's this cycle of life. So we actually need more CO2. More CO2 would be great. If you actually want to green the planet, pump more CO2 into the atmosphere for all of the vegetation to encourage more plant growth. And the other byproduct to not only creating more food for all of us is that the more green there is, the less desertification of the planet means a cooler planet if it's covered by, you know, a canopy, vegetation, leaves. You have a cooler planet. Rather than completely destroying all plant life when they put up these solar farms. So you've eradicated whatever wildlife is living underneath these solar farms, whatever plant life was living underneath these solar farms, whatever vegetation was there, is gone. And you put up black panels over hundreds of acres of land. Black. Attracting sun, and the heat only serves to heat the planet and Earth. Completely contradictory to what Al Gore and Antonio Gutierrez and all these other climate fruitcakes would have you believe. You're the carbon they want to eliminate. A carbon-free future means death on a massive scale. I mean, just look at these things. And I'm going to say it again. And fact checkers, you can look this up anywhere you want to. That the UN has a population reduction agenda. And Dennis Meadows tells us about that population reduction agenda, where they want to reduce the Earth's population from where it is today, around 7.5 billion people, down to 1 billion people. They tell us this. A lot of their agendas, their pet projects, are relative to that population reduction. For example, abortion. That's why they call it reproductive health. It has nothing to do with reproducing. It has to do with not producing, not procreating. It has to do with killing babies. Then you add in euthanasia, where Canada's leading the world in this insanity. You know, people, and I have no problem with the elderly who are ill and suffering and are terminal and are choosing to, you know, end their life with some dignity and without pain. I have no problem with that. I'm in favor of it, actually. Because if I was in that position where I was terminal and in an enormous amount of pain, not that there isn't pain management to deal with all of this, there is, but I think I would want the ability to choose. But this goes way beyond that. This goes to children now, mature minors, they like to call it. You know, they brought in this term during the pandemic, where they were selling the idea of mature minors making their own decisions in regards to getting the jab. And there's actually a parent who's in prison because he didn't want his child being exposed to the jab. So they created this narrative around mature minors deciding for themselves. They can't vote. They can't buy alcohol. They can't buy marijuana, but they're allowed to determine if they can hack off their body parts. They can determine if they inject an experimental mRNA into their bodies. And they can now determine if they want maid services because they're having a bad day. And they've extended it to the poor. If you're poor and you're struggling, you know, give us a call. The state will end it for you because it's too tough. They've offered it to veterans struggling with PTSD and other mental illness and asking for help. Of course, the government can't afford to help them. So they just simply offer the easy way out. That's another way. The whole transgender movement, the whole SOGI movement, sexual orientation, gender identity, being taught to our kids, confusing our kids so that our kids don't participate in traditional family values. They don't participate in the nuclear family by procreating and having children and adding to their family tree. No, because they're confused about 72 different genders that they could possibly get into. Or maybe they're groomed to change their gender. And exposed to pedophiles. And they're destroying our children through this process. And again, it all leads to less children, less babies, the destruction of the nuclear family, traditional family values, the destruction of our way of life. That's what all of this is. And then you get into, of course, CO2. And limiting our food producers the ability to grow crops, not only bumper crops in quantity, but also affecting the quality of those crops. That has been innovation that's allowed for us to continue to feed the planet, a hungry planet. Take out 30% fertilizer because of its emissions, and you create famine, mass starvation and famine around the world, which of course leads back into this population reduction. And then you manufacture a virus, and then you manufacture an experimental mRNA that's creating death and destruction around the world en masse. It all leads back to this. You're the carbon they want to eliminate. You are the carbon they want gone. Back down to what they think is a manageable 1 billion people. So when Pierre Poilievre, who leads a party responsible for this agenda in our nation, saying in an interview with the CTV that they're looking towards a carbon-free future, and that nuclear is the answer. We already have cheap energy. We have the cheapest energy on the planet. Oil and natural gas. We already have it. The last 150 years have shown how we were able to use that energy to cheaply heat our homes, fuel our automobiles, our vehicles, our transport vehicles, our ships, everything else. Through the most readily available resource on the planet, the cheapest on the planet. And Canada's very good at it. Canada's very good at pulling that stuff out of the ground. We're very clean. Have you ever seen a reclamation site? They're always pristine. We do a phenomenal, we can lead the world in this, and we should be. And our politicians shouldn't be kneecapping our industries. Our country should be so prosperous, should be booming, that nobody in this country should be hungry. There should be water on every, fresh water on every reserve, coming out of a tap, heated. There shouldn't be a veteran on our streets. There shouldn't be any homeless on our streets. There shouldn't be an opioid crisis that's running wild. Because our youth have no hope. Because we've destroyed that hope. The attack on the middle class, the attack on the nuclear family, where we've created this economic system that our families can't afford to look after their own kids. They farm it out to the government, the state, and our schools to indoctrinate our children. And it's this revolving door. It's this self-propelled prophecy of destruction. Because we can't afford to have one parent stay home and another parent go to work. As we speak, our inflation's going through the roof. The reason our inflation is going through the roof is because of the agenda. It's all relative to Sustainable Development Agenda 2030, the SDGs, Sustainable Development Goals, all of it is related to this agenda, all of it. Inflation, cost of living, the pandemic. It's all by design, 100%, Tammy. It's all by design. Because in order for them to achieve their goals, all 17 goals, which are relative to all aspects of your life and controlling those elements and aspects of your life, in order for them to achieve those goals, they need to destroy everything we claim to cherish in Western civilization in the first world. They need to destroy the first world so that we become the second and third world and equal with the rest of the world, the rest of the second and third world nations. So we're equally poor and equally dependent on global governance and the destruction of the nation state. That's what this agenda is. And that's why Pierre Poilievre says something so ridiculous like a carbon-free future. And I'm sorry, conservative supporters, but when do you wake up to this? When do you grasp this? When do you understand what the CPC represents? It's no different than the liberals. Michelle Rempel's running around promoting anybody who criticizes drag queens reading to children as hate. What does that sound like? What does that sound like? That sounds like the liberals. That sounds like anti-hate network. That's the Conservative Party of Canada. And one of her members running around calling us all haters because we're critical of drag queens reading to our children, exposing and sexualizing our kids to debauchery. And somehow we're just supposed to accept it? I'm not going to. None of us should. We should be absolutely railing against Michelle Rempel and what comes out of her mouth, calling us all haters, because we're critical of that. And that ties in to this agenda. She's doing it because her party's committed to this nation-destroying, way-of-life-destroying agenda. The values of freedom, liberty, sovereignty, justice, equality under the law, prosperity and truth are all under attack. Those are the values they have to destroy to achieve the goals of sustainable development, the 17 SDGs. And Pierre's on board with it. The leader of the Conservative Party just stated in an interview with the CTV, he's on board with a carbon-free future for you. He also voted in favor of criminalizing therapy for children who are confused about their identity. Criminalizing it. So, as a parent, you can't even take your kid to therapy if they're struggling with their identity. It's against the law. Pierre voted in favor of it. So did most of his MPs. There are a few conservative MPs. Brad Redekop here in Saskatoon West, he voted against it. There's a few of them around. Most of them are in the West. A couple of them in Ontario, Northern Ontario. But the majority of them voted in favor of it. Because they don't have a spine. Because they're too worried about their own ass. They're too concerned with their own wages, salary, and pension. They don't care about you. They don't care about you. Of course he's a Trojan horse. Pierre is a Trojan horse. That's what he is. He runs around the country telling everybody he's going to scrap the carbon tax. And when he says these things, and that he's, you know, denouncing the World Economic Forum. So when he says he's going to scrap the carbon tax, what does he actually mean? He's still committed, his party is still committed to the Paris Accord. Fully. And what is the Paris Accord? It's the reduction of CO2 in the atmosphere. Fully committed to it. Net zero. Carbon free future. Fully committed to it. So how is he going to achieve the goals of the Paris Accord, the targets of the Paris Accord? How's he going to do that? If he's scrapping the carbon tax. Well, as they always do, conservatives, they use language to confuse their supporters and their base. And it works every time. Every time. So I'm going to try to unconfuse them. Carbon pricing. Taxing and fining and putting tariffs on big emitters. And then those big emitters will transfer that cost onto the consumer. You. So you're still paying a levy, a tax, whatever you want to call it. You're paying more for your energy, let's say. That's creating CO2. Because the big emitters are getting fined and they're transferring that cost onto you. So you're still paying for it. So they can achieve the goals of the Paris Accord, which are all based on fantasy. We need CO2 in the atmosphere. We want more of it, actually, to encourage more plant growth so we can green this planet and cool it down and feed everything that needs to be fed. I don't know what it's going to take. I continually see conservatives, supporters, that don't have the foresight or don't want to understand who they're supporting. There's only one party that openly, it's on our website, opposes the UN agenda and all of its goals and all of its targets, everything. We talk about it all the time. Carbon is life, 100%. I talk about it all the time. And I'm a PPC candidate. I'm a PPC member. I'm not afraid to talk about it. In fact, I have no choice but to tell people the truth. And I've had conservatives tell me that I should lie. Because not enough people understand the truth. So I should just lie to them so we can win. That's so typical establishment. That's exactly what they're doing. So when this, think about this for a second. When this agenda was first signed onto in 1992 by Brian Mulroney, Conservative Prime Minister, after he signed it, you'd think he knew what he was signing. You'd think that his established party knew what he was getting into, knew the consequences, knew how detrimental this was. And you would think, after coming home from Rio and signing this, that he would send his MPs out to all of their constituencies and ridings and educate the constituents who voted for them as to what this agenda represents and to how it's going to affect all aspects of your life. In fact, what they did was the exact opposite. In fact, what they did is they framed the whole thing a conspiracy theory. And anybody who talked about it, Agenda 21, Agenda for the 21st Century, that Mulroney committed us to, and anybody who talked about it was labeled, shamed, and ridiculed as a conspiracy theorist. By design. Because if they ever went to everybody's constituency and held a town hall selling this idea to the people would have rejected it out of hand. The people would have forced that politician who's trying to sell this nation-destroying, sovereignty-destroying, way-of-life-destroying agenda to the people. They would want him fired immediately, resign on the spot, they would have forced him to. Because you can't sell this to the people. You can't sell this agenda to the people. And because you can't, you frame it as conspiracy theorists and conspiracy theory. Because it's not palatable to the people. So you hide it. You don't tell anybody. Federal, provincial, municipal have never told you about this agenda. Not once. Ever. They still deny it. Pierre Poilievre still denies it. When I caught up to him here in Saskatoon, I asked him exactly his position on the Sustainable Development Agenda. You've all seen the video. He denied it. Out of hand. Knew nothing about it. Hasn't read it. Even though he's voted on it at least 6 times. Probably more. There's an act that regulates this. I'm going to show you that right now. So, here's the conspiracy theory that we've all been told is just that, a conspiracy theory. This was created in 2008. This is the link that discusses the thing that's been labeled a conspiracy theory. This is what conservative supporters say is the reason why Pierre Poilievre can't talk about it, because the big bad media and the big bad liberals would label him a conspiracy theorist, even though it exists in the form of a Canadian act that Pierre Poilievre voted for numerous times. It was the Harper government that first created this act. This is just another addendum or amendment to the act. 2016, the Minister of Environment and Climate Change committed to return the House of Commons Standing Committee on Environment and Sustainable Development within the year with a report on action taken in response to the committee's second report, Federal Sustainability for Future Generations. The government commends the members of the committee and the witnesses who appeared before it for their insight and commitment toward addressing the challenges and opportunities associated with sustainable development within the federal government. The government supports the positive approach and the constructive thoughts and ideas put forth by the committee. The government agreed with the committee's premise that changes to the Federal Sustainable Development Act are required. The committee work as instrumental in shaping the renewed federal approach to sustainable development presented in this report. Yet Pierre Poilievre knows nothing about it. The purpose of the act, which came into force in 2008 under the Harper Conservatives, because they're the ones who first created it, is to provide the legal framework for developing and implementing a federal sustainable development strategy that will make environmental decision-making more transparent and accountable to Parliament. The Act requires that at least every 3 years the Minister of Environment and Climate Change table the sustainable development strategy that includes goals, targets, and implementation strategy for each target and a minister responsible for meeting each target. These federal strategies have been tabled to date under the Act. The most recent, covering 2016 to 2019, was tabled on October 6, 2016. I'm not going to read the whole thing. I put it in there so you guys can read it. In the context of public consultations on the draft 2016 to 2019 Federal Sustainable Development Strategy, the House of Commons Standing Committee on Environment and Sustainable Development conducted a review of the Act. The resulting unanimous report, Federal Sustainability for Future Generation, was tabled on June 17, 2016. The report highlights ways in which changes to the Act, as well as other steps, would facilitate more effective strategies. It presents 13 recommendations, including, I'm not going to go through them all, you guys can do that. I'm just going to pick out a paragraph here that I wanted to read to you. Once fully implemented, a renewed sustainable development approach would provide improvements at every stage of the federal sustainable development strategy process. From developing, consulting on, and tabling the strategy to implementing it, to reporting on results. This would include strengthening the role of the House of Commons Standing Committee on Environment and Sustainable Development in monitoring the progress and holding the government accountable for results. This is what Pierre claims to not know anything about. An agenda converted into a national law, an act, in Parliament that has enormous consequences for our prosperity, for our way of life. And Pierre claims to know nothing about it. Nothing. Hasn't read it. Even though he's voted on it at least six times. Probably more. You can share it. I'm going to put it in the room. I'll put it in the chat. So if you go to, you know what? I'm also going to put it on, because it's, for whatever reason, the chat isn't connected here to my regular Facebook, it appears. So I'm just going to post it to my wall over at Mark Friesen. so you guys can go over there and grab it. So that's what Pierre denies knowing anything about. He's the official finance critic for the opposition, your royal opposition. La-di-da. He's the official opposition critic, finance critic. This is the law, this Sustainability Act. This is the framework in which money is pulled out of public coffers to fund it within our country. It has a huge impact on our public finances. And Pierre Poilievre knows nothing about it. He says that, even though we know he's lying, he says that because he knows his party's responsible for this insane agenda by signing on to it in 92, creating this act that compels our government in Canada, a sovereign nation, apparently, which it isn't anymore. It's under global governance, which compels our government to report to the UN, an unelected, unaccountable foreign entity, our progress in achieving the goals of sustainable development to the UN, an unelected, unaccountable foreign entity that doesn't have our best interests remotely at heart. And they've done this for decades without telling you about it, ceding our sovereignty to some foreign global entity that could care less about you or our prosperity, our way of life, the values we claim to cherish. They could give a flying hoot about that. But we have to report to them. We have to report our business to an unelected, unaccountable foreign entity. Why is that? Ask Pierre Poilievre. Ask Stephen Harper, who once said that Canadians are going to have to accept less sovereignty under global governance. Those were his words. This is why the Conservatives continue to go against what their supporters want them to do. This is why. Because they're committed to this. This is why and who they are. And you keep supporting them because you're afraid that Trudeau might get in again. Trudeau's done. Trudeau's finished. Trudeau's unelectable, in my opinion. And I believe that to be true based on what I'm seeing in the polls. Trudeau's done. And that doesn't mean his replacement won't be twice as bad. Because he will be. He'll be smarter. I believe it'll be Mark Carney. But you can't sacrifice your values, your principles, the values you claim to cherish, out of fear. You can't do that. We lose every time. Your support of the Conservative Party, your support of Pierre Poilievre, is going to lead us to destruction because of this agenda. So I've been part of a project the last little while with three other people, fantastic people, who asked me to partake in this. And what it is we go through and analyze every sustainable development goal, all 17 of them, from 1 through 17. Each one of these is somewhere between 45 minutes to an hour long discussion, identifying which of these goals, what it represents, what the targets, some of the targets are, what some of the indicators are. There's 17 goals, there's 169 targets, there's 239 indicators. And it's all-encompassing. It regards every aspect of your lives. Everything. It's part of digital ID. It's digital currency. Climate change. Fanatics. Hoax. Employment. Education. SOGI. Industry, cities, land, oceans, the air you breathe, the work you do, the home you live in. They want to control all of it. Everything. And Pierre Poilievre and the Conservatives won't even acknowledge this agenda. They won't even acknowledge it. They won't recognize it. God knows they won't denounce it. Everything we cherish is under attack. All of it. And there's only one party that's talking about it. There's only one party that's denouncing it. Fully. One. Federally. There's a couple provincial parties that are talking about it too. In fact, I'm going to Alberta beginning of March, March 4th, I believe, to discuss exactly this and to add some context to what's going on at an event in Calgary. And along with Archer Pulowski and Salim Mansour and Mark Moreno from the States. That's going to be a very outstanding event. And we're going to tell the truth to an audience that is very thirsty and very hungry for the truth. And we're not scared to tell the truth. In fact, it's our duty to tell the truth. Because thousands of Canadians before us gave the ultimate sacrifice so we could live free. And we're abusing that freedom. We're taking it for granted. And we've abdicated our responsibility to people that don't have our best interest at heart. And it's time we turn this around. And we take back our responsibility and hold these people accountable for what they're doing to us. That's our job. I believe it's going to happen at Victory Church in Calgary, if I remember correctly. And they will be producing it. They will be live streaming it. They will be recording it and then putting the production out shortly thereafter. So if you can't make it, which I hope you do, but if you can't, it'll be available digitally as well. So, this is why I get so frustrated with conservative supporters, because it's like they don't want to accept reality out of their own fear. And we can't take back our country if we're afraid. We can't. They have you exactly where they want you. They want you all hating Trudeau so much that at all costs, you'll vote for the lesser of evil, which in my book is equally evil. and fully committed to the most destructive agenda we've ever faced. So stop. If you love this country, if you share the values that we all claim to cherish and share, freedom, liberty, sovereignty, justice, equality under the law, prosperity and truth, if you share those things, then stand up and defend them. Don't give them away to another globalist, to another party that's proving to you almost daily they are exactly who we say they are. I don't know what else to tell you. That's where we're at. So stay tuned. This production is going to be released hopefully maybe by the weekend, maybe early next week. Again, it's an interpretive discussion talking about each one of these sustainable development goals. Well, here, why don't I just show you. Yeah. That's them. So we go through each one of these, and each one of these has inspired and generated 45 minutes to an hour long discussion. Some are a little longer, I think, the big ones. But we talk about each one of these in the hopes that enough people will begin to understand. How all-encompassing this is, and how this deals with all aspects of your life. And they want to control all of it. And you're handing it to people who brought it to us. You're handing it over from Trudeau. And listen. A month before Trudeau was elected, Harper signed us on to the latest incarnation of this agenda. Agenda 2030, September 27th, 2015. A month before the election of Justin Trudeau. To which, after being elected, 4 days after being elected, he did an interview with the New York Times, referring to us as the first post-national state because of this agenda. Because Harper committed to this and then referred to us as a nation without core identity. He wasn't talking to you. He was talking to his handlers at the UN and the World Economic Forum. He was telling them that we are fully on board and fully committed to achieving the goals of sustainable development. Through the Canadian Sustainable Development Act. It's not a conspiracy theory, so stop it. It's as real as rain and as destructive as any war would ever be. It will destroy everything you love. Everything you cherish. And two parties who have reigned and ruled and governed this nation for 152 years are both committed to it. And you keep supporting them out of fear. Stop it. There's an alternative. There's actually a party that exists that has it on their website that we oppose all of this. Canada first, so we can boom and prosper and protect our industries. Because this whole narrative around CO2 being the enemy is a fantasy. It has nothing to do with reality. They're using it as a mechanism of fear and propaganda so that you keep electing globalists that are destroying our country and everything we love. Stay tuned. The production should be, as I said, done by the weekend or maybe early next week. And it'll be important. So, anyways, that's what I wanted to chat about. I wanted to let you know. And yes, Trudeau's just as guilty. And yes, the Liberals are just as guilty. Everything Trudeau has brought in since the day he was elected in 2015 has been in compliance with this agenda. Everything, every bill, every OIC, every bureaucratic policy, because that's where it starts, that's where they bury all of this, is in the bureaucracy. They're both fully responsible, and we have to hold them accountable. Why don't the politicians come to you? Why isn't there a politician right now on a live stream telling you about this? Why isn't there? It exists. It's real as rain. There's an act in our federal government governing this, providing funding for this. Why isn't there a politician right now on a live stream or in a town hall telling you all about this? Tell me why. Isn't it their job, as representing our best interests, to tell us and inform us about this enormous agenda that's destroying our prosperity, our freedom, our way of life? Isn't it their job to represent our best interests? Yes, they're all part of it. It's up to us, all of us, to take our responsibility back, force these people to acknowledge it, at the very least. I mean, Trudeau acknowledges. He's acknowledged it numerous times. In the fall of 2021, he told the world that they're using COVID to achieve the goals of sustainable development. Trudeau doesn't mind speaking about this. In fact, it probably helps him with his liberal friends because they're useful idiots. But conservatives will lie to your face, as Pierre lied to mine and to everybody who watched that video. They will lie till they're blue in the face if it gets them elected. Everything is associated to this agenda, and they won't talk about it. They won't even acknowledge it. It's up to us to force them to acknowledge this, recognize it for what it is, and denounce it fully. They won't do that. So, it's in our hands. It's our responsibility. We have to do this. They're not going to do it. Yeah, okay. I can play the Pierre video. Again, this was when Pierre was in Saskatoon. I had to pretend for 2.5 hours that I wanted to take a picture with him in order to get the time to ask him the question. And because he didn't hold a Q&A for people to ask questions. There it is.
How you doing? What's your name? Mark, thanks for coming. Yeah. Hey, we'll do a shot here.
I have one question.
Oh,
I have
for you. Yeah.
I'd love for you to answer.
Fire away.
You've denounced the World Economic
yes.
Forum.
Yes.
You denounced the UN Sustainable Development Agenda, the SDGs.
I haven't read it, so I don't know what it is.
You haven't read it?
No, I haven't.
That's interesting.
Do you want to do a shot?
Sure.
All right.
Oh, very good.
391,000 people on TikTok have seen that video, 50,000 on Facebook at least, and 70,000 on Twitter that he's lied to. Bald-faced lie. He's voted on it at least six times, probably more. He's the finance critic for the conservatives, your royal opposition, and he knows nothing about it. So two points. We know he's lying. He can't answer the question because his party is responsible for it. But even if he was lying, even if he wasn't lying, and he truly didn't know what it was. What is he doing leading any party in this country? Especially as finance critic for, you know, however long he was. And people expect me to leave him alone. People expect me not to hold him accountable. And at the same time, I'm expecting all conservative supporters to do their duty and hold him accountable. And when I do that, I get shit for it. I get hammered on for it. So stay tuned for our interpretive video on the Sustainable Development Goals and each one of the goals. We'll be hosting Twitter spaces on it and a few other things. So stay tuned for that. Anyways, guys, I got to go. But thanks for coming in. Once this is done, please share it. I'm going to upload it. I'm not live on Rumble right now. But I'll upload it to Rumble and to Odyssey. And share it out, because it's, you know, it's important. People need to know this stuff. And that's our job. My pleasure and duty, Larry. Thanks, my friend. Yeah. All right. So that's that. And remember, globalism bad, nationalism good. Ciao for now. Love each and every one of you. Go out and spread the message. All right.